This is Conor Lennon from UN News. While the global economy will continue to grow at a steady pace of around 3% in 2019 and 2020, that growth is expected to be uneven and may fail to reach where it's most needed. This is according to the 2019 World Economic Situation and Prospects Report, launched on Monday, which underscores the importance of a dynamic and inclusive global economy to fulfil the 2013 Development Agenda and stave off the pressures posed by a raft of challenges, including trade tensions, climate change, and weakening trust on the multilateral front. Dawn Holland, chief of the Global Economic Monitoring Branch in the UN's Department of Economic and Social Affairs, spoke to Liz Scafidi about the report, beginning with the reality behind what appears on the surface to be solid global growth.
While global growth is relatively stable when you look at it on the surface, as soon as you look below, growth is very uneven and is often not reaching those who actually need it the most. And so we see high levels of inequality, widening levels of inequality in many areas. Now, this is a problem in and of itself, and also a problem when we're looking at reaching some of the sustainable development targets, for example, very importantly, eradicating poverty by 2030. Over the last couple of decades, we have seen some really dramatic improvements in reducing levels of extreme poverty around the world. But that progress has also been uneven, largely focused on dramatic declines in some large economies such as China and India. If we look at sub-Saharan Africa, improvements have been progressing far more slowly. And under our current projections, which sees growth in Africa around 4% maybe for the next few years, and inequality remaining more or less where it is, but declining only marginally, the prospects for eradicating poverty by 2030 are not likely to be achieved. We need to see dramatic changes. We need to see growth raise to double-digit levels, over 10% per annum in many African countries. And we need to see the levels of inequality halve from where they presently are.
As countries develop their own plans for making the SDGs a reality, what can the UN do to help?
Well, I think the UN has a very important role to play, and particularly one of the risks that we see in the world economy at the moment is some waning support for multilateral approaches to global policymaking. We see that in terms of trade policy, we see that in terms of development finance, we see that in terms of commitments towards combating climate change. These are essential parts of reaching the 2030 agenda, and they also are global challenges. You know, climate change does not have a border. There's no border to where the emissions fall. It can only be tackled with collaborative, cooperative, multilateral approaches. And the UN is an ideal forum to make that progress.
Are the leading economies around the world doing enough to put the SDGs front and center in their development and planning?
Yes, many countries have taken on board the targets of the SDGs and have started to design policies that will help to move towards the goals. Have we made enough progress? Absolutely not. I mean, if you just look at in terms of progress towards sustainable patterns of consumption and production, we haven't made nearly enough progress on those fronts. Our economic production is still way too carbon intensive, way too resource intensive. We haven't made yet the delinking between economic growth and degradation of the environment, which is essential. And much more efforts and more urgent efforts need to be committed to.
The report says that resource-rich countries often struggle to tap into their development potential. What steps can be taken to mitigate this?
That's a very important point. Many of the countries that have been lagging behind in recent decades, not just in the last couple of years, but for the last several decades, have enormous natural resource wealth. But unfortunately, the management of that resource wealth means that it hasn't been well directed towards development of the economies. It has enormous potential to help to finance an expansion of education, to help finance investment in vital infrastructure, in healthcare, in all of the factors that we know need to happen in order to make rapid development progress. But instead, the returns are often devoted just to a narrow interest groups or even sent abroad to other countries, which means that we're losing out on that potential. And reorganizing the way that those natural resources are managed is essential to helping the countries tap into that potential.
Can you tell us about some short-term risks that could significantly damage longer-term development prospects?
There are sort of four short-term risks that we highlight in the report: rising global trade tensions, building financial fragilities, a withdrawal from support for multilateral approaches, and then climate risks. We see all four of these having both short-term impacts and potential for doing long-term damage to development prospects.
And what concrete policy action can be taken to reduce the risks to the global economy?
So first and foremost, we would put emphasis on the need to support multilateral approaches and to support coordinated and collaborative approaches to some of the challenges that we face. Specific policies that we can introduce. We have countries that need to raise their growth. So we need policies that aren't just going to boost the short term, but also have longer term impacts. So, for example, investing today in education, investing in infrastructure, in rural infrastructure in particular, in order to narrow the divide between the urban and rural regions, investing in healthcare, investing in infrastructure and in productive capacities that have a longer term implications can both support the economies today and bring returns over the longer term.
Are tensions between China and the United States causing a global economic shock? And what does that say about the future of the international financial institutions like the World Bank and IMF, and most importantly, the World Trade Organization?
We have seen a dramatic buildup in global trade tensions and between the United States and China in particular over the last year. Negotiations are ongoing. Our forecast is predicated on an assumption that the two will find some common ground in their negotiations over the next month or so, and so there won't be a full-blown expansion of trade tariffs and tensions. However, that is a significant risk that we face. If it were to materialize, if we were to see a very dramatic increase in global trade tensions that was prolonged over a year or so, growth rates could be reduced by 2 percentage points compared to where we are currently expecting them. So it could have a dramatic impact on the short-term global prospects. But more importantly, it would also signal a deeper withdrawal from cooperative and collaborative multilateral agreements. And this poses a risk in the case of a widespread global shock, whether we would have the cooperative resolve to have a common policy approach to combating a deep shock, like countries were able to come together and do back when the global financial crisis hit in 2008 and 2009.